Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked, he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Alleluia. Psalm 146, verses 5 through 10. The first of the last five psalms of the entire Psalter, all of which have come to be known as the Alleluia Psalms, because they sing Alleluia. They sing praise to the Lord. And it sits here with some overlap, some coincidental similarities to what happened right before in Psalm 145. Things like, God is the God who gives bread to the hungry and who makes the blind to see. And this idea that the Lord reigns, that he is a greater king than any human king that has ever been. And here we could zoom in on the fact that it's moved from blessing to praise. This transition, although it's right there, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, but it's not bless the Lord, O my soul, right? It's praise the Lord. What does that mean? But I'd rather zoom in on Jacob. Who is the God of Jacob? Might be a pet hobby horse of mine. But there is no father of, you know, patriarch of the Old Testament quite as colored, and I mean that in a non-skin tone way, quite as speckled, and I mean that in a, well, maybe punny, referring to the sheep way, there's nobody quite as deceptive as Jacob. He's not a good dude. He's not a good guy. He's a bad guy. But he's the son of a man who's received a promise that God's going to make him a good guy. And the whole story of his life is one of which he is working against God, working against the promises. He even steals the promises themselves. They don't belong to him. And so that God's purpose in election might stand, that is, so that God might bring Jesus Christ to be grace universal for the entire world, he loves Jacob anyway. He loves him. He protects him. He brings him constant growth, constant success, gives him the woman of his dreams, gives him flocks and herds and finances. And then when it's all threatened to be lost because of that theft from his own brother, provides for that moment too and saves him by making him not deceiver anymore. He renames him. He breaks him. He turns him into the one for whom God fights. He calls him Israel. And you really do see a shift in the story from that point on. Jacob is, well, he's not a, I won't say good guy as if, as just virtuous, it's more than that, he's a believer. You see the same thing with his father Abraham, who has these promises that from the blood of him and his wife, on a certain plot of ground is going to come the salvation of the world, and for the next nearly 80 years, he does everything he can to stop it. He gives his wife to other men, he sleeps with other women, they leave the land at the soonest sign of a famine. And yet God continues to push him back to where his promise is going to be brought about by his own work. And then there's a moment, there's a shift, there's a point at which it all clicks. And Abraham realizes that even if I do kill this boy with my own hand, if God says to do it, well, he will raise this boy from the dead because he's promised to save the whole world through him. Blessed is he whose God is that God, who doesn't expect us to live up to him, but instead stoops down to us. A God in whom you can truly hope, because he's not a God who first demands justice, but one who loves to sacrifice for you. He has heaven and earth in his hand. He made the sea and all that's in them. But what he really wants is righteousness for those who don't have it, food for those who don't have it, freedom for those who don't have it, sight for those who don't have it. He wants to lift up the humiliated. He wants to forgive your sin. And so he loves the righteous, which just means those who believe that. Those who look not to themselves and their own works, but to who Jesus is and what he has done for them. And he watches over you as you sojourn in your exile here among this veil of tears. As you are not a citizen of this land, but a citizen of a better country, one with foundations that last forever. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, that is, you, who are ostracized and an outsider in this world, having no hope or help but him. So while the way of this age will indeed bring itself into ruin, you know, the Lord your God, Yahweh of old, God who spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God who became incarnate in your Lord Jesus Christ, you know that he will reign forever, that you are now Zion, the temple of this living God, for all generations. How can you not say it? Alleluia.